We are in the third week of a series titled Unwrapping Christmas, where we're trying to take a fresh look at the Nativity to see the amazing gift that God has given us in this pinnacle of human history, this greatest miracle of all time, the birth of God the Son in human flesh. And 2 weeks ago, Todd reminded us of the gift of a fresh start as we looked at the genealogy of Jesus in the book of Matthew. And last week, he preached about the incarnation, Jesus putting on human flesh and entering into our world and how it literally changes everything for us. And so this week, I want to look at how we can respond to the good news of Christmas as we learn from the example of some of the men who got to hear it first. And so, if you will, let's look at Luke chapter 2. And a little background here. Joseph and Mary are on their way to Bethlehem. They've made their way to Bethlehem because of a census, because of something that a worldly government has called them to do, an oppressive worldly government. And in obedience to the government, they go to David, to the town of David, the ancestor of Joseph, to be a part of the census. And so let's start in verse 6. And while they were there, the time came for her, that is Mary, to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at the shepherds who told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen and heard as it had been told them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you through our Lord Jesus, and we thank you for this familiar story. We pray, Lord, now I pray that you would open our ears and our hearts as we look with fresh eyes at what these shepherds have been able to take in and how they respond. I pray, Lord, that you will keep me from error, and that you will silence me if I begin to speak false things. Lord, we love you and we praise you and we look to you for answers. In Christ's name, amen. So it's a chilly evening in the fields outside of Bethlehem in Judah. Only the sound of the wind over the grassy fields can be heard, along with the occasional bleating of a sheep, maybe a wild dog in the distance barking, growling, and then a harsh shushing from a man. It's nothing new for the half dozen or so shepherds taking watch that night. They've been doing this work all their lives. The young men, they're taking the first watch while the older shepherds catch a few Z's, and they'll switch around midnight, and the old men will watch until sunrise. The sheep belong to the Levites, They'll be sold for sacrifice at the temple in a few months for the Passover, Passover feast. They look over their flock with a gentle smile, maybe a sarcastic chuckle, seeing them wander further away from the brook where they can be watered. Instinctively, a couple of shepherds split up and flank the sheep in order to bring them back, to round them up and get them close to the flock again. They get close enough to their sheep. They can see them about as clearly as one can on a Middle Eastern full moon night. They know their job. Feed the sheep. Strengthen the weak. Heal the sick. Bandage the wounded. Bring back the strays and seek out the lost. Lead them beside clean and still waters. Rinse and repeat. It only sounds romantic to us because we don't have to do it every day, right? Shepherding was not seen as a noble occupation at this time in Israel. The sheep herders would stay out for weeks at a time watching their flocks, moving them from field to field to find greener pastures, from well to well and watering hole to watering hole. They earned quite a stink for themselves, walking in the sun and sleeping in the dirt, helping ewes birth their lambs and grabbing and carrying back sheep that had been dumb enough to wander into the mud and get stuck. They got dirty. Shepherds. They didn't get cleaned up very often. But they didn't get to come to church very much. They didn't get to go to worship very often. See, sheep have to be watched on the Sabbath too. Maybe they would get to go every now and then to a synagogue. But even then, people weren't too excited to sit down next to a shepherd and his flies and his filth. They weren't educated either. While the other youth were able to go to Sabbath school and learn the law and the prophets and the other scriptures, young shepherds were out, well, shepherding. Most shepherds were nomadic. They were vagabonds, and they really didn't get to settle down in one area for too long. So they didn't have a whole lot of friends that weren't, you know, other shepherds. People didn't trust them. In fact, shepherds' testimony wouldn't even be accepted in the court of law at this time in Israel. And the sad thing about this is, being a shepherd was, at that time in Israel, the most common occupation of them all. There were a lot of sheep out there, and they needed a lot of supervision. But that didn't matter to most of society, that God had blessed shepherds by calling so many of them to be the heroes of Israel. Jacob and Rachel, Moses, David, Ezekiel, just to name a few. And that God calls himself in his Old Testament the shepherd of his people seems to have gotten lost on a lot of those people. See, in Israel, shepherds were unclean, uneducated, untrustworthy, unspecial. And it was in this common, unspecial field, on this very unimportant, random evening, among these ordinary men, that a very extraordinary event occurs. A bright light appears out of nowhere, awakening the sleepers and blinding those who watched. The weight of the glory of God drives them all to the ground on their faces as they hear the voice of a heavenly messenger. They may not be educated, but they know enough of the Torah to know that Moses said, "You will not see God and live." These men knew they were about to die. Terror gripped their soul until they hear the words of an angel, "Fear not. Be not afraid. I bring you good news. Glad tidings of great joy." The Greek word that Luke records there for glad tidings, good news, is evangelize. The angel appears to him and says, "Don't fear, I'm evangelizing you. I'm bringing you gospel. Good news. News of great joy, and it's for all the people." And what is this good news, this gospel, these glad tidings of great joy? Well, let's look again at verse 11. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Well, that is good news, isn't it? A Savior is born. See, these days, Roman emperors use that title of Savior to describe themselves. But this Christ, the Messiah, has come into the world, and He's a King. In fact, He's the Lord. Glad tidings indeed. But the strangest part of this birth announcement, other than the fact that it's coming from angels, is the object of the announcement, the object of that sentence. When you get a birth announcement from a friend or a family member, what does it say? It says, "A baby girl was born to Michael and Haley," right? A baby born was born to a different Michael and Amy, right? A different baby was born to these parents. But this angel announces these ragtag hayseed shepherds, unto you is born this day a Savior. A baby is born to you. This Savior was born for these common, unclean herdsmen. These shepherds are told really good news. Earth-shattering, mind-boggling, incomprehensible news. And it's for them. It's for you. It's surprising to see the response of the shepherds here. If you go back only one chapter, you'll see that this is not the first angelic birth announcement that happens in Luke's gospel. Zechariah, a priest who served in the temple of the Lord, is met by Gabriel, God's angelic messenger, who tells him that he brings to him good news, that his wife will be with child and she will give birth to a boy, a son who would be a prophet of God and the forebearer of the Christ. And Zechariah hears the good news and he doubts. How can this be? My wife is an old woman. A priest. One whose occupation it is to serve God biblically and to know the Scriptures, to pore over them, to serve in the temple. He doesn't seem to make the connection that God had done this before with His very own ancestors, Abraham and Sarah. Nor does He think it strange to stand in a temple and argue with an angel. A hardened heart, or the practicing of a cold, dead religion, or having a lack of faith, it can really make you dumb. And that's exactly what His punishment was. He was stricken mute, dumb, until the birth of His Son, who becomes John the Baptist. But when these shepherds, for their lack of education, their uncultured, their uncivilized culture, they see God's glory and they hear a heavenly message from an angel's lips, they silently believe what they've heard, responding with the wisdom of Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 2, which says, "Be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. For God is in heaven, and you are on earth. Therefore let your words be few." And because of this, they even get a sign. "And this will be a sign for you," the angel says. "You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." This news was such good news. It was so good that we can see the response of heavenly beings as they fold back the fabric of our earthly realm and give the shepherds a glimpse into their own worship service. Verse 13 and 14. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. You see the irony here? These men weren't allowed in the temple to even behold the praises of God as it happened among men. But here in this ordinary field, on this decreasingly ordinary night, these unclean men got to watch the host of heaven proclaim the glory of God in the highest heavens, and to proclaim peace on earth for those with whom God is pleased. God's army, the Navy SEALs, walking in and declaring peace. That's awesome. God loves to include the most unlikely, undeserving, unspecial people in his blessings. What good news. And when all these glorious things are completed, they aren't content to stop there. These shepherds saw untold thousands of angels that night, singing and praising God. This wasn't a Gaither concert. This was not the Newsboys or Hillsong or Rend Collective. This was heaven's own marine band praising God. For what? For the good news that the angel had just proclaimed. Unto you, mankind, has been born today in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And so the shepherds look at each other and say, if this Savior who was born for us is so glorious that angels snuck a peek and then worshiped like that, we got to see this for ourselves, guys. And they book it to Bethlehem. Can you imagine, just for a moment, being in heaven? It's paradise. It's perfect. There's no sin or sadness or death or misery or loss or any bad things at all. And then having any reason whatsoever to look back at sin-smeared fallen earth? What could possibly steal your attention away from paradise? The gospel. When God entered into this world to save his sinful children, whom he loves, from the wrath to come, it was so glorious that heaven's head turned to get a glimpse. Praise God. And witnessing that was God's gift to like 8 common shepherds. 1 Peter 1:12 says that the message of our salvation through Christ's death and resurrection are things into which angels long to look. Are you moved by the glad tidings of Christmas like these angels or even these shepherds? This is my 31st Christmas coming up. I'm 31 years old. I've heard the Christmas story for a month out of every year for 31 straight years. Most of you out here can probably top that. There's a quote in Fyodor Dostoevsky's Crime and Punishment where one of the characters laments. He says, "Man grows used to everything, the scoundrel. Man grows used to everything, that scoundrel." Do you ever find yourself unimpressed by the miraculous grace of God in Christmas? I do. I'll be the first to admit it. There are seasons of my life where I think I've simply grown used to the good news of great joy that angels long to look into. To us who treat as common this holy truth, I say, let us go to the shepherds as an example for you this Christmas. They heard the good news and they received it for themselves. The message was that Christ, our Savior and Lord, was not simply born in Bethlehem, but was born to you in Bethlehem. The difference between being a hearer only and a receiver of this good news, of God's grace, is in whether you receive it in faith. The shepherds received the good news as a gift that God had made known to them, and they responded. Let's look again. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. I can imagine the shepherds running toward Bethlehem, a town built on a hillside. Most of the lights have been snuffed out until morning, and only the quiet sounds of maybe a few barnyard animals can be heard. They approach the inn in town, where visitors would come as they made a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. I imagine a sleepy innkeeper, and maybe his wife, strangely awake on what can no longer be called an ordinary night. "We've heard about a baby," one of the shepherds might have said. "Is there a family with a baby staying here?" "Well, not exactly," the innkeeper manages to mumble out. "But there was a man and his pregnant wife who we let stay in our stable out back." Now when a group of shepherds shows up in the middle of night at your inn in a small country town asking about a baby, that piques your interest. Wouldn't you say that you'd be kind of interested to know what in the world is going on? And so I imagine the innkeeper and his wife and maybe a few of the guests from the inn who've been awakened by the commotion all jogging out to the stable, right? Out in the distance. Could they hear crying? That's awesome. I totally planned that. Could they hear cooing or maybe a mother singing lullabies? I don't know what they heard, but when the men walked into that stable, I bet the words of the angel rang in their ears. "You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." There he was. Right there. Right in front of him. A baby in a feeding trough, wrapped in a few scraps of cloth. I bet there was a pretty decent, awkward silence there for a second. Right? Innkeepers, guests, shepherds, teenage mom, stressed out new dad, and a feeding trough filled with the bread of heaven. I think we lose sight a little bit of that weirdness, right? We've heard the story so much, and we've seen it portrayed in such a beautiful and artistic way. But ladies, let me ask you, how many of you have ever thought about how excited you would be to lay your newborn child in a feeding trough? Or men, how proud would you be to know that you wrapped your firstborn son in like a couple of scraps of dirty cloth? Jesus Christ came into this world, born a king, God himself. And he came not to a noble family or even to a middle class family, but he came in such humility that his first bed was probably filled with sweet feed. And his first pajamas likely smelled like the donkey that his mom rode in from Nazareth. Who would believe such a thing? Of his own humble lifestyle and upbringing, Jesus later on says, "Blessed is the one who is not offended by me." Matthew 11:6. Who would be able to see a baby in a manger and dirty swaddling cloths in a podunk town like Bethlehem, born to an unmarried, poor family from Nazareth, and believe that this was the child of promise? God's anointed. Shepherds might. Can you? Here again, we see these common, unclean, uneducated sheep herders responding to the good news of this baby that they're now finally able to behold for themselves. And what do? They immediately pass on the news, right? They proclaim what they know about this baby. See it with me, just in your minds. They've walked into this stable with the whole peanut gallery with them. They see the Holy Family with the baby in a manger. And after the room stops spinning for them, they turn to everyone and they're like, "This is nuts, guys. This kid is the Christ, right? He's Israel's Savior. This baby right here. This is our Lord." Can you just see the shocked and dumbfounded looks on everyone else's face at this point? Maybe even like kind of scared. The Bible says that they tell them everything that had happened that night. "We were in a field, and an angel came out of nowhere, and it was in God's glory, and it totally freaked us out for a minute. We were all on our faces. And then this angel said, 'It's okay, we don't have to be afraid, because he's got good news for us, and it's good news for you too, because a baby was born who's going to be the Savior, Christ the Lord.' The angel said that to us. Can you believe it?" I'm seeing blank stares, right? I'm seeing like a bunch of guys going, "All right," kind of looking at Joseph and Mary, like, you want us to get these guys out of here? Right? But they continue. They keep going. "No, seriously, the angel said he'd be wrapped in swaddling cloths and laying in a manger in Bethlehem." This is Bethlehem, right? That's a baby in a manger, right? Guys, we wouldn't make this stuff up. "Oh yeah, and then we saw all of the angels come out of heaven, right? And they sing of God's glory and peace for all of us. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste to bring him Lot, right? Hurry up and worship him. This babe, the son of Mary." And the text says the people wondered. They were shocked, amazed. I think I get that a little better now. And I think the shepherds here show us two appropriate responses to hearing and receiving the glad tidings of great joy. First, as we said, they proclaim the good news that they heard and received and had seen for themselves. Notice they aren't ashamed or apologetic about it. They didn't wait a few weeks and try to form a relationship with them all and then invite them to a game night first and then form a small group and then maybe preach the gospel at some point. They were like, "Dude, Jesus is here, right? He's the Savior. We got a Savior. This is good news." They're excited because it's exciting news. It's glad tidings. It's good stuff. And they don't treat the gospel like a bitter pill that they have to get their listeners to agree to swallow. They don't treat it like that. It's good news, and it's good news for them. It's good news for you. Telling people good news is something to be excited about, and to be done joyfully. And they do it matter-of-factly. Not in an ugly way or in a condemning way. They're not abrasive to the people around them, but they don't tiptoe around it. These people need to know the good news. When the shepherds received that good news, they naturally and joyfully pass on the good news. Is that your attitude about sharing the gospel of God's salvation through His Son? Is that the way you approach it? With joy? The second response to them receiving the gospel can be seen in verse 20. "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them." They go back to their ordinary lives, their common jobs, dirty sheep and all. But as they go, they glorify and praise God for all that they have seen and heard and received for themselves. And we're called to do the same. In fact, When a sinner hears the good news of God's salvation through the death and resurrection of God's perfect Son, and he receives it for himself by faith alone, which leads to repentance, which is demonstrated in baptism, he becomes a living sacrifice, a source of continual, repeated, ongoing worship toward God, his Savior and Lord. Isn't it interesting that the angels at the end of this story have been so transformed by their faith in Jesus that they have already, in a single night, begun to emulate the angels at the beginning of the story? The heavenly host proclaimed the glory of God in the highest, and the shepherds now go proclaiming the glory of God themselves. Angel armies declare the good news of peace on earth toward all with whom God is pleased. And the shepherds make known to all around the glad tidings of great joy that they've received. The shepherds began this story as unclean sinners. But the grace, by the grace of God and Christ Jesus, they have been made clean by their faith. They were uneducated ragamuffins, but now they have a message of truth that the most learned men in all the world still study 2,000 years later. And many brilliant minds don't seem to be able to believe it. The shepherds were considered untrustworthy outsiders, but God himself has entrusted to them the gospel and invited them into his very own nursery. They were commoners, nothing special. But by the merciful, loving kindness of the Holy One of Israel, this story, their story, is told year after year for 2,000 years of these shepherds who heard the good news of a Savior, received him as the one born unto them themselves, who immediately proclaimed the gospel to all around and devoted themselves to the worship and praise of Almighty God, who showed himself to be a God who is pleased to make peace with everyone who will receive the gospel with great joy, and this Christ child with living faith.